It's 6 past 6 on RN Drive. It's 30 years today since the return of Uluru to traditional owners. Hundreds gathered near the base of Uluru for a special ceremony to commemorate the day that traditional custodians regained control of the site. Indigenous Affairs Minister Nigel Scully and Opposition Leader Bill Shorten were both at Uluru to mark the anniversary. They reflected on the historic importance of the handback, but also the unfulfilled promise of the deal struck that day. The Opposition Leader Bill Shorten joins me now. Welcome to RN Drive.
Great to be with you.
At Uluru this morning, it was acknowledged that there's much work still to be done. You said we need a new target for closing the gap, a justice target. Now, this was something that Labor raised with Tony Abbott, but it was rejected by the Abbott government. Have you put it to the new Prime Minister directly?
Not yet. I've had one meeting with the Prime Minister about constitutional recognition. I'm keen to actually try and pin Malcolm down to have regular meetings. I think it's important, and Australians would expect the leader of the government and the leader of the opposition to talk on a sort of sensible, regular basis, and I'm going to try and see if Malcolm's interested in that.
And on that issue, I mean, he has suggested that he is interested in working together, the more bipartisan spirit with the opposition. Should Indigenous Affairs be the number one priority in that space?
It should certainly be up there. I would also say so should family violence, so should a sensible approach on climate change, but absolutely it would be on any agenda of a meeting I had with Malcolm Turnbull.
I want to move to another issue. This is superannuation. Now, Scott Morrison, the Treasurer, wants to address the gender gap in superannuation, he's revealed. Labor has said the government has widened the gap by scrapping the low-income super contribution. So will you maintain that payment if you win government? Is that at the centre of your policy around this?
There's 2 points in what you say, or three. Let me answer them in order. The Liberal government recognises a gender gap in savings. Labor's been saying that for years, and we will keep saying it, and we're pleased that it's getting the attention in the national media that's long overdue. Second issue is what can be done about it, and that leads to two or three areas we've been very critical of the Liberal Party. One is that the Liberal Party rescinded a tax cut we gave for people who earn less than $37,000 on their superannuation. Without taking too long to explain it, PK, people who earn $37,000 or less have a certain proportion on top paid into super, but they pay 15% tax. But the truth of the matter is that the tax they pay on their superannuation is actually higher than the tax they pay on their normal income, which they spend. We think that's a perverse system. It's unfair. Of course, this affects 3.5 million Australians, of which 60% are women. So the federal Liberal government rescinded that. Now, the third thing is, what can we do about it? We're having a look at what we can do in terms of what we can afford. This government's got the budget in a horrible mess.
Well, it is due to be scrapped after the 2016 election. So given that, you'd have to recommit to it, wouldn't you?
We would. And the point about it is, I think there's several mechanisms to improve the superannuation for women. The first thing I would say is that the government's floating this idea of increasing the concessional caps, the amount of money that women could pay into their super with being taxed at a lower rate. Now, that's not a bad idea. I'm not going to be all negative about that. I think that's one of the options in the mix. But also, there's a lot of women who will never earn, be able to put more than $30,000 into their superannuation. So I invite Malcolm Turnbull and Scott Morrison, if they're thinking about the gender gap, to reconsider the approach in a bipartisan way about tax rebates or refunds of the tax paid on superannuation for low-income earners. The other thing I would invite them to do is to look at just lifting the overall percentage of superannuation. At the moment, it's stalled at 9.5%. We think that all women, not just those who have more than $30,000 spare in a year to put into superannuation, would benefit by increased superannuation contributions. So if we could get them to unfreeze the lifting and compulsory superannuation, that would benefit every woman who goes to work. The other thing which I really need the federal Liberals to do is, how do we pay for it? And there's this big myth in Australia that somehow a tax concession is not government spending. What happens at the moment is, if you're at the... there's about 3% of Australians in the top tax bracket, and that's good. But they all get tax concessions. In fact, recently, did a very good paper for the Australian, the Financial Review Reform Summit recently, which showed that if you're one of the top 3% wealthiest income earners in Australia, you are 2.5 times more likely to avail yourself of tax-privileged income.
That's
so
right.
Pay less tax.
And Malcolm Turnbull has put all of these things on the agenda. Jason Clare says that superannuation reform needs bipartisanship. Will you support government proposals, given they are now quite obviously planning on making concrete proposals that benefit women and lower-income earners, even if they don't match up perfectly with your policies? Are you committed to working with the government, given they look like they're moving in that direction?
PK, Labor Party needs no lecture about fairness. Our policies are fair, and I'd ask you to ask the government, will they actually support Labor's fair ideas? I've said on your show just then that the option of providing women who are able to put more than $30,000 a year into their superannuation is one which should be, you know, considered. But I also asked Malcolm Turnbull, will he consider unfreezing superannuation, the lifting compulsory superannuation? Will he back in removing the taxpayer-funded subsidies that the really, really, really wealthy people who already have millions of dollars in their superannuation currently receive? Now, the difference between Liberal and Labor at this point is we put our ideas up there.
Well, running floating theirs as well, aren't they?
Well, no, but we've actually costed ours. You know, we've actually got a solid proposal on the table. I know it's not always interesting to look at what the opposition's actually costed and said, but Malcolm and Scott are playing catch-up with Labor. We will talk to them constructively about constitutional recognition. We will talk to them constructively about fairness and equity. But I'm putting specifically on your show in very straight language, how about looking at unfreezing the increases in superannuation? How about looking at decreasing marginally the ridiculous tax concessions which the very wealthy in this country already have?
Bill Shorten, they are already Labor Party ideas that you've been arguing about
policies,
for some time.
Policies,
that's right. Well, ideas, costed. Policies, well, they no, are no, your proposals.
There's a difference, PK, between a dinner party conversation by, you know, a very interesting new people in new positions and cost the hard work we've done over the last 2 years. The other thing is, if we want to talk about giving women an equal go and repairing the gender gap in terms of savings, let's repair the gender gap in pay. The biggest problem in terms of the savings gap is that women don't get paid the same as men in many professions. Let's have a discussion about what the government will do to support paying early childhood educators in their equal pay case in the Federal Work Commission.
Let me ask you another question. Malcolm Turnbull has challenged...
Words are cheap, PK. Actions are what matter. And we've actually got costed policies. And we're very excited about talking about treatment of women.
Malcolm Turnbull has challenged you directly over industrial relations, and you've just raised industrial relations, specifically the reintroduction of the ABCC and the Transparency for Unions legislation. He says you need to clean up alleged union corruption. You've said this is Malcolm Turnbull reheating Tony Abbott's union bashing, but even the CFMEU is pledging a root and branch review of its own governance. How can you argue that there is nothing to see here, given even the CFMEU, the militant union being exposed by the Trade Unions Royal Commission, is now saying it needs to clean up its act?
PK, we're all a bit more sophisticated than simple headlines in some newspapers about unions. I understand that we should have zero tolerance for illegality. It was me when I was minister, against the opposition of the Liberal Party initially, who put administrators into the controversial Health Services Union, and I think subsequent evidence that comes to light has vindicated my decision to do that. And when I made that decision, that was an action. That wasn't just talk. What happened was the Liberal Party kept championing Kathy Jackson as some sort of hero of the labour movement. Now, you must have seen the same evidence and the same Four Corners shows that everyone else has seen. So we've got a good track record in clamping down on bad behaviour.
So will you support all of the recommendations of the Royal Commission
let's wait and see what they are. How would you ask me to support something which we haven't even seen, unless you assume that we can predict what the Royal Commission's going to say? Now, I think the Royal Commission is a political exercise. And there's plenty of evidence to support that. When it comes to illegality in the construction industry from employers or union officials, we have no time for that. But the real question that we talk about when we see this discussion about unions is the issues around unions all about the CFMEU or the Health Services Union, or is it about weakening the ability of of organised labour to maintain a strong safety net of conditions.
But can't you draw a distinction between the two and say that you're willing to work on corruption, look at the ABCC, look at the legislation again, while also, you know, defending the broader union movement's rights? Can't you do both at the same time?
I do, and I have for 20 years. I understand, though, the difference between corruption and a liberal attack on trade unions in Australia. So it's a straw man argument. Are you against corruption? Of course we are. Of course we are. And I'll sit down and talk to Malcolm Turnbull about corruption in boardrooms of insurance companies, and I'll talk to him about corruption in our trade unions.
So what does that mean? If he's willing to talk about what you call corruption
companies? It's important. Yeah. It's important. You're asking serious issues. We've got this new era post-Abbott that it's not all about gotcha. You've asked me serious questions. I'll try and make my answers briefer. I'll talk to Malcolm Turnbull about tackling corruption wherever it is, in companies, in political parties, in trade unions.
So will you meet him over this legislation then? Because you say you'll talk to him about anything.
I'll meet with Malcolm Turnbull, absolutely, about a range of issues.
And the ABCC and the Transparency for Unions legislation? Because if I looked at your comments, I read your transcript, all of it, and you said that you saw it as a union bashing exercise. Will you meet him over it or not?
I will, obviously, as I said earlier in the interview, meet Malcolm Turnbull about family violence. I'll meet him about constitutional recognition. I'll meet him about a fair go for women in the workplace. And I'll meet him about governance of unions and companies. But what I won't do is allow the whole trade union movement and over, you know, 1.5 million trade unionists be smeared by a royal commission which was set up by Tony Abbott. I don't actually believe that the real problem in Australia is trade unions or indeed employers. I think the real problem is we've got a productivity challenge, we've got an unemployment problem. We've got 1.3 million Australians who are underemployed, we've got 800,000 Australians approximately unemployed. We've got 800,000 Australians on the disability support pension. You know, there's a lot of people not working in this country. So I'll meet with Malcolm, but he's not the only person in town to set an agenda. And I want to talk to him about family violence, about constitutional recognition, about taxation reform so we don't have a leaky system where the very wealthy are able to access themselves disproportionately to taxpayer-funded concessions and the rest of Australia doesn't.
Bill Shorten, many thanks for joining us on RN Drive.
Thanks, PK. Bye.
And that's the Leader of the Opposition, Bill Shorten, joining us there to talk about a range of issues, including Indigenous recognition and, of course, also industrial relations. Whether he'll meet with Malcolm Turnbull, he says he's open to meeting with Malcolm Turnbull on a range of issues to try and forge ahead with a bipartisan approach. 0418 226 576, that's our number here at RN Drive. What do you make of what Bill Shorten says? You can also tweet us at RN Drive.